It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country with Dan Berger and Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn. I'll let Dan Berger introduce our guest today.
Anna Diogo Draper, is that correct?
Yes, okay, I got it. Perfect.
Okay, not bad. With a hyphen in the middle. You started with Artesa in 2013 and took over as head winemaker in 2015, and we do have some 2015 wines today to try, and that's really exciting. This has to be a lot of fun for you.
It is, it is. It's been quite a change and an exciting one, and I'm really, really thrilled to share the wines with you guys today.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
You look familiar. I thought maybe you'd been in before. I know we've talked about Artesa.
Good.
But
confused with Arista.
Well, this winery's been around for quite a while. I think the changeover in winemaking styles wouldn't be shocking to very many people, because a lot of these wines have never been really seen on the shelf anyway. They've been somewhat selling primarily to the consumer direct out of the tasting room, and it's a really gorgeous building, architecturally striking in the Napa Carneros. And maybe you can enlighten us a little bit about what your style is all about.
So my goal with my winemaking style is to showcase the unique terroir of our vineyard. We're on the back end of Carneros, on the edge of Mount Veeder.
On the Napa side.
Mm-hmm. On the Napa side.
Is that Rutherford Hill?
No. Okay. Rutherford Hill is up north Napa. We're on the southern end of Napa Valley in Carneros.
Gotcha.
And right on the edge of Napa, right on the edge of Mount Veeder. And our soils are a very unique combination of limestone, sandstone, silt loam. And we're able to achieve this beautiful minerality and bright acidity in our whites, in our Chardonnays, which the main whites we produce in our state vineyard.
I'm sure that Steve's getting thirsty for the Chardonnay.
Yeah, is it not cold enough?
He's looking visibly distraught.
And then the Pinots, there's a lot of ridges. I like to, as a joke, say our vineyard is kind of an accordion. There's a lot of hillsides and ridges, high elevation, and we get beautiful concentration of flavor in the Pinot Noirs. And stylistically, my goal is all about acidity. I pick based on acid, pH, TA, kind of put aside the bricks and go by the instinct of how the fruit's tasting.
You better get some Chardonnay in front of Steve before he gets tired of listening to you.
Never. But I do want to say, Anna, you were born and raised in Portugal.
That's true. That's
and
right.
And you came here in 2005?
I came in 2004 to Rutherford Hill. I was an intern there, and then returned in 2005 for a brief stint, and my Santa Rosa husband kind of nailed me here. Fell in love, stayed, same old story. And so I've been here for 12 years.
Where did you learn your winemaking skills?
All in Portugal. So
really?
I went to school. I went to, first of all, agriculture school. I wasn't sure. I knew I wanted to be doing something in agriculture and didn't know exactly what. And then, like most winemakers, had this wow moment in winemaking class with this great, still one of the biggest Portuguese winemakers presently. And just after the end of the semester, I knew that's what I wanted to do for a living, become a winemaker.
Talk about the differences between what we make here in California wine country and what Portugal does.
Acidity.
More acidity,
yes,
generally?
Yes, acidity, fruit freshness.
Dan less talks about acidity in wines.
Yeah,
all
it's
the
a
time.
Big. It's a big one. I think more fruit-forward wines, more fruit-friendly wines. The use of oak is, I think, a little more. How should I say? Moderated.
Yeah, we have a lot of customers that are acid freaks. They want as much in the wine as
possible.
I was
possible. In high school, but that's a whole
yeah,
new
it's a
story.
Whole different pro-
and,
I knew it would go that direction.
And lower alcohol, I think, because the wines are more acid-driven, more fruit-driven, you're picking the wines earlier. And so
they're
getting
more
oriented
alcohol. Toward dinner.
Exactly, more fruit-friendly wines, which is something big, being owned by a Spanish family, owned by the Codorniu family in Spain. Mm-hmm. It's very important to us that our wines are fruit-friendly. And
Barry, can they get Artesa wines at Bottle Barn?
No, there's only, I was shocked
soon.
To hear this, out of 28 wines, I guess there's only four in general production or in retail marketplace, but we'll begin the lobbying tonight.
Yes, as always, out in the hallway as after usual. The show. Dan?
Well, one wine that Anna's pouring for you right now, Steve, is Albariño, which is a rare grape variety in California. It grows well in other countries, in particular in Portugal and Spain. But what you're going to find in this wine is kind of a, I would call it a slightly Pinot Gris-like aroma, but also with a little bit of the spice component that you get out of some of the spicier grape varieties. So this is a very interesting version. Wonderful to go with Asian food and also with delicate seafood dishes. It's just a fabulous wine.
Oh, I love this nose.
Yeah, the nose is just phenomenal. Yeah,
it's really very floral, very nice. Bright, low alcohol again.
And the fascinating thing is it's completely dry. And so, you know, it doesn't have the same profile as, say, for example, Gewürztraminer, which is a lot more aromatic. This is more subtle, and it has real beautiful aftertaste with nice, bright acidity to go with the food.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I really like that.
It's a pretty nice wine.
Each component in the middle, really nice.
Yeah, it's fermented at really low temperature with the goal to retain all the aromatic volatile compounds and to really retain that beautiful aroma to kind of shot out on the glass when you pour it.
What's the price point on this?
$28 a bottle.
Yeah.
And this is, again...
That's a steal.
Yeah. This is winery only for our wine club.
Yeah, it's available primarily only at the winery, but the winery is definitely worth visiting. There was a Spanish architect who was brought in to do the architecture.
It's quite a showplace.
It's really gorgeous. It's got a kind of a channel waterfall there.
Right, yeah. I remember that was
it's really
a distinct water feature.
Yeah.
We did our tasting room, so it's well worth the visit. Even if you visited before, you'll find great, beautiful changes at the winery.
And tell people where it is exactly, how to get there, say.
So
especially
you take
from Santa Cruz,
Highway
Sonoma
12
County.
And then Old Sonoma Road towards Henry Road. It's in the back roads of Carneros. It's 1345 Henry Road.
Takes 1 hour to get there from Santa Rosa.
Yes.
Exactly, 1 hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, well worth
it. And worth the drive, because it's a gorgeous drive. Once you get off onto Old Sonoma Road, it's really pretty.
You turn
up there
just before Caneros in there, right?
Yeah.
Domain
Caneros.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the nice thing about it is that the surprising thing is that the wines have always been very good, but now they're really distinctively different, and I think that emphasis that you're placing on acidity is really important. These are not real tart wines. Mm-hmm. The difference is that there's a better overall structure in the aftertaste, that's all. And so it really works nicely with food. When you try the Chardonnay, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think I visited when you guys were more of a Cabernet house originally, early on, and it sounds like the changes that have been made are in the right direction.
Absolutely, yeah. Pinot is our main focus, and we're redeveloping the vineyards. They're about 30 years old, and so we're slowly redeveloping and really focusing on studying clones and rootstocks that pertain better to our property. After 30 years of being there, we know now what works, and our focus is definitely on Pinot and Chardonnay. And we actually also planted a little bit of Cabernet and Tempranillo on the highest ridges of the property.
But that's right up against Mount Veeder, so you know the style it's going to be.
So down below, you're more akin to your Carneros neighbors, and as you go up the hill, you're more akin to the Mount Veeder Cabernet.
But this is also a very special property because this is right where Hyde Vineyards is located, this is really
on the back.
That's very special region. It's a region of the world that very few people visit because it's really kind of off the beaten path, but it's really not. I mean, it's not far off the beaten. It's only about a half a mile off the beaten path, but it's not easy to see it. That's all.
Right. From the road, especially the property or the winery has a natural roof. So if you look from Highway 12, we can't see us. You have to actually go into Henry Road to see the winery, and then when we pop up, it's quite the view.
And just go to artesawinery.com, A-R-T-E-S-A, artesawinery.com, and you get all the info. I want to, Anna, is it Anna or Anna?
Whatever's easier.
Okay. She's flexible.
We went through this with a guest last week, and I said, is it Anna or Anna? And she was from Mexico. She said Anna. And I said, well, if you were from Italy, it'd probably be Anna, but I don't know. So either one. It's easy to be easy when you're easy. That's what I always say. And Anna or Anna. Yes. The website says you hold a BA in agriculture engineering.
Yes.
From a university situated in the middle of Portugal's historic cork industry.
Yes.
I didn't know they had I didn't know they had cork history. What's the deal there?
Oh, Portugal, yes. It's one of the biggest, Portugal along with Spain, but Portugal number one, it's the biggest cork producer in the world. And in the south of Portugal, where Évora is, in the Alentejo region of Portugal, is where all the cork trees are grown. They manufacture the cork in the north of Portugal, but the cork forests are all in the south, in the Alentejo. It's a beautiful region with also great wines that I'm luckily able to buy at Bottle Barn.
Did you connect with he's in the heart of it.
Did you connect with Coronu there? Do they have a presence in Portugal, not only in Spain?
All in Spain. Artesa was the first winery they purchased outside of Spain. They bought it in the mid-'80s, and first harvest was 1991. And now there's also a winery in Argentina, in Mendoza. But no, there was no, only at the dinner table, drinking quarter new wines.
Yeah, exactly.
The Chardonnay you have in front of you, Steve, is a special vineyard designate. It ain't cheap, but it's definitely one of the better Chardonnays you'll ever drink. Really delicious wine. Very subtle in a certain way, because it doesn't have as much oak character as so many of the other producers.
I would say subtle, yes.
Yeah, it's really gorgeous wine.
Good acidity.
Yes,
yeah,
thank
I'm
you.
I'm kidding about the acidity. It's really good.
Anna, you speak English, Portuguese, Spanish, and French.
Oui.
That's so impressive. Dan?
Well, I didn't know very much about Anna until I got a phone call from a public relations company and began looking into the wines on their website and found that the acid levels were all listed there. And it was really interesting for me. And I don't, I get probably 30 calls a week, do this story, do that story. This one was really compelling to me because the wines really showed right on in their statistical sheets that they really had the balance and the structure. So that's why I wanted to connect up with Anna. And this really has shown to be very brilliant. So when you get to the Pinot Noirs later today and the sparkling wine that we have right after the break, this is really a house that's made a major turn, but you're not going to see headlines or neon lights very often because this is not the kind of wine that commands that attention. But when you taste it, you know how good the wines are.
Yeah. People that appreciate balance in wine would get this if they're not looking to be hit over the head with anything.
And Anna mentioned she can buy a lot of great Portuguese wine at Bottle Barn.
Yeah, we've actually continued to expand that section. It's gotten more and more popular, all the sections. I mean, we're selling more Swiss wine, more Greek wine. Somebody today asked me for Georgian wine from the former USSR, and so we have a following. But Portugal is one of the fastest growing.
Thank you.
It's great. Yeah,
I'm probably your number one, number two.
Maybe you're responsible. Yes.
Well, Anna, when you were growing up in Portugal, was your family involved in wine at all, or were they wine fans?
Did
they
fans, yes, okay. Wine drinkers, and we have family friends who own small vineyards. We would, you know, go there, make wine during harvest season at their little, you know, homemade wine, but never in a commercial setting, let's say. Some people related in the family to cork industry in a way, but none directly owning vineyards or commercial wineries.
There's a big difference between what's happening in the Portuguese industry in terms of wine today and other countries. There's often a sort of an imaginary connection between Portugal and Spain because they're so closely aligned geographically, but they really are radically different. Do you want to go into a little bit of that difference?
Well, I think geography is a big one. Portugal is very influenced by our coastal geography, or where the Atlantic has a huge influence, and I think there's a lot of more Mediterranean climate influence on the southern Spain, the Priorat, or even for the Cavas in San Sadorni, and then more interior in Rioja. Portugal is more the maritime, the sea influence, even though if you go to where I studied and made wine in Portugal, in the Alentejo, that's very dry. It's more what you'd find in California, in Central Coast. And then you go up north, you have the Vinho Verde, and very bright, very citrusy, very low alcohol, Rías Bajas in Spain. There are regions that are very distinct and others that have some similarities. Rías Bajas and Minho, where Vinho Verde is done, is one of those. But I usually joke saying we have varieties that are really hard to pronounce, but really delicious to
taste. I know, they don't put it on the labels very often. It's usually just like field blend, red blend. They know people
they're
will
very,
just
very,
be lost.
Very hard, yeah. And a lot of them, it's they have the very similar, the same varietal in Portugal and Spain can have completely different words. The meaning is kind of the same, but the words are completely different.
Yeah, isn't Tarrega Nacional considered to be a fine grape, but it's also considered something else in other countries.
Exactly.
It's got different names.
Dan, I'm going to assume you've been to Portugal.
Yeah, oh yeah, we spent some time in Sintra, and we went to Coimbra, and we went up to the Douro, and it's been a lot of fun to visit that country. It's a really gorgeous country.
That's what I hear.
Very subtle. It's not anywhere. It doesn't have the same temperament as the Spanish. The Spanish will eat dinner at 10 p.m., and if you try to get in there at 9:30, they won't even have the door open yet. And whereas in Portugal, they eat normal hours. It's a much different atmosphere.
What's the biggest city in Portugal, Anna?
Lisbon, the capital.
Oh, yeah.
But the number two is Coimbra, which
really?
Most people don't know.
It's true. It's bigger than Porto, which is the biggest town up north, but it's a small town. It's probably the size of Santa Rosa.
Really?
Maybe smaller.
And it takes a while to get up there. If you don't drive, we took the train, and it's basically a two-day trip to get up there.
I have heard wonderful things about Lisbon.
It's a gorgeous city.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Really pretty.
That's my city, so.
Ana Diogo Draper, winemaker, the director of winemaking at Artesa Winery in the Caneros on the Napa side, is with us. Barry Herbst, wine buyer at Bottle Barn. And, of course, Dan Berger is here. We will continue with California Wine Country. Don't forget that if you miss any episode of California Wine Country or you want to go back and check some stuff out, go to calwinecountry.com or iTunes. We have a podcast there that you can check out. The California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn, our Bottle Barn buddy, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, Barry Herbst, of course, my co-host Dan Berger from the Press Democrat and everywhere else. And our guest today is
Ana Diogo Smith.
Thank you.
Diogo Draper, sorry.
Ana Diogo Draper. She was born and raised in Portugal and is the head of winemaking for Artesa Winery, which is in Caneros on the Napa side. They've been doing some amazing stuff. We have enjoyed Chardonnay. And Dan, just before we pop this sparkler.
The Albariño, yes.
Yeah. Now, explain that again.
So Albariño is a, if you want to define it, you would call it a semi-aromatic grape variety. Would that be fair to say?
Oh. Yes.
So it's not quite as fully aromatic as, say, Riesling or Gewurztraminer, but it's certainly aromatic in a certain way. And what's really nice is if you ferment it really cold, as you did, you retain that sort of blossomy, citrusy, citrus blossom character, and that's gorgeous.
I've never tasted anything like it. The nose was amazing.
Right.
It really, this is, I love the slogan, too, Artesa, born in Barcelona, raised in Napa Valley. That's really cute.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay. So I wanted to get that out.
Yeah, those wines are huge sellers in the summer for us. That's like a...
You have this one?
No, but the Albariño in general, but this kind of wine... This would fit right in, certainly.
Well, after the show, you're going to talk to Anna, and you'll be able to get more of this at Bottle Barn.
Just like the taxpayer. We're gonna work
all right, Anna, pop that sucker, as we say in the United States.
I'm always afraid of this.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's just a cork.
Yeah, Mike usually ducks under the desk.
Oh, there you go.
Perfect.
Great job.
9 years ago... we were doing the first California Wine Country, and I popped sparkling wine, and the cork missed Mike by a tenth of an inch. And
so he'll never forget it.
No, he'll never forget it. He usually ducks down, even if I'm not the one opening it. Anna, talk about this sparkler.
So this is our 2013 Grand Reserva Brut. It's a sparkling 100% out of our estate vineyard. And the curious thing is it's bottled with the Artesa label, but under the Codorniu Napa, which was the original name for Artesa Winery when Artesa was founded. And it's under the label Codorniu Napa as an homage, let's say, to our Codorniu roots and to our Spanish roots. And it's part of a special label or series of labels called RRS Collecta that Codorniu does, homaging different terroirs in Spain and now of the world with Artesa's terroir in there, too. So it's 100% out of the estate, mainly out of... two blocks, 50% Pinot, 50% Chardonnay, and it was on East for about 3 years.
You make this on the property?
We make it on the property.
So it requires a lot of special equipment to...
Yes.
Still so I'm always asking why more California wineries don't do sparkling, and everybody says it's a pain in the butt because you have to acquire all kinds of new equipment. Basically, to make it happen.
We've been making sparkling since 99, so since the winery was open for 25 years. Some people think Artesa stopped making sparkling while we produced it. For a few vintages, we decreased our production and now increased it again. And they're actually adding a latest gorge and 100% barrique fermented, kind of a Krug style, more sparkling to the portfolio in the next couple of years. They're still
it's really nice.
On
not
East.
Too much.
Thank you.
It's a nice wine.
Yeah.
Like
no. It's hardly any.
Quite dry.
Yes.
Is this the only sparkling wine you make?
We have also a Brut Rosé on the market of 2014, winery only again, and for wine club only. And
not for long. Soon
and
bottle barn.
These are all small productions. So we make 28 wines, but they're all about between 200, 600 cases of those smaller lots.
All right. A second Chardonnay from Artesa that Dan has been saying to me, you're going to like this even more than the first one, which I really did enjoy. Talk about this, Anna, and then Dan will talk about it.
So this is our 2015 Estate Vineyard Chardonnay. It's again 100% out of the winery. Again, different clones, mostly Dijon, some Martini, some Hyde clone. Different sun exposure, elevations. Again, a lot of variability. And this one genuinely picked based on acidity. So based on flavor profile on the vineyard, but also looking a lot at lab numbers and when the acidity is shifting, called a pick. About 20% is fermented in stainless steel, and only about 20-25% goes through malolactic. So really to retain the freshness, super clean, very crisp.
After all these months and years or whatever it's been, you do know me. As much as I enjoyed that first one,
that's your style.
I'm taking this home tonight.
Well, it's absolutely because
it's less money, right?
It's cheaper too.
There you go. I love that too.
The thing about it is the other wine is more to age. The first Chardonnay is to put away for 3 to 4 years to allow it to come together. This one really has fruit up front with some subtle components of acidity to carry it. So it'll be fine in 3 or 4 years, but the other one will actually improve for 3 or 4 years. This will probably get better a little bit. The other one is a killer.
Yeah, I tell customers all the time, a lot of times what you're paying extra for in these wines is not what it is right now. It's what the ageability is, the track record, what the people, the winemakers know this is going to become in 2 or 3, 5, 7 years, whatever it is. And then they get it, pay the extra $20 and
I always
put
say,
it in the cellar.
I have always said this, and I've been writing wine since about wine for 38 years. I've always said, trust the winemaker. When they tell you this wine will do this or that, you just basically trust that because they know. They see the fruit. They see the fruit when it comes in the winery. They see the juice as it's before fermentation. They see all the numbers. They know all the
tasting
details.
Tasting library wines
right.
all the time.
Yeah, sure. And we can't know that. And yeah. it's not like
sure.
When you go into a restaurant, if there's a new chef in the back room, you don't know whether the standard dish is going to come out the same way. But with the winemaking team, you are pretty well assured that if they want to tell you that this is a different kind of wine that you're familiar with, that you're not familiar with, trust the winemaker.
It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottled Barn. Our special guest today is Ana Diogo Draper, the head of winemaking at Artesa Wines in the Caneros on the Napa side. Great stuff. And by the way, she was born and raised in Portugal. And the production director of my company, Vicario Productions, who's in Southern California and listens constantly. It's partially his job. That's why we pay him $1 million a year. But he just texted me saying, I've been to Portugal, including Lisbon and the whole area between Lisbon and Porto. Fantastic place, super friendly people. And then he says, it seemed like Italy would have been in the 70s. He's a lot younger than me, and he lived in Italy for a long time, and he's completely Italian and is multilingual. Lingo?
That's his version of Italian.
Yeah. That works.
Anyway, he's a big fan of Portugal and their wines and such. And, you know, Lisbon, God, I need to go there at some point.
It's a beautiful city. What's really interesting is in some parts of it, it's so cosmopolitan, you don't know whether you're in Paris or not. I mean, it's that sort of...
best nightlife in Europe.
Oh, yeah, the nightlife is killer. But then when you decide, yes. We went to Sintra, which is only, about an hour away by train. And Sintra is a little community that's out, west, I guess it is.
A little bit west.
And we got off the train. And I said, oh, okay, I can move here. That was it.
Wow.
It was gorgeous. Beautiful. It was just really pretty.
Beautiful.
So I think... I'm pretty sure. In fact, I know I have. I've seen an Anthony Bourdain, be it the old show or the new show, from Lisbon. And
he has one in Lisbon and one in Porto, too.
Oh, okay.
He's done both.
Yeah. I've seen some of that.
And
I was sitting there going, I want to go there. I might want to live there.
Interesting aspect to this, Steve. We were in a cafe in Sintra having lunch, and my wife, Julianne, says, let's have a glass of wine. So, okay, fine.
She says that to you, and you go, I'm sure you went,
all right, so we'll have a glass of wine. So I pick up the wine list, and I'm looking at this wine list, and there's a glass and a bottle pictured there. It's actually a photograph on the wine list, and it says 5 euros. So I figure, we'll have for in those days, 5 euros was like $8. I say, well, a glass of wine for $8, that's not too bad. The guy brings me the whole bottle.
For $8.
For $8. And I said, what's going on here? He said, we drink a lot of wine in Portugal, and that's the reason, because it's cheap. So I'll tell you, your budget goes a long way if you're a wine drinker and you go to Lisbon.
Yeah, and he
didn't say...
going out.
Because you're Dan Berger.
They don't know why. Over there, forget it.
All right, now, Barry brings... his bottle a week. This is a Syrah.
Yes, right around the corner from Artesa, actually.
All right. Who is this?
So this is under the label of Quivet Cellars, made by my good friend Mike Smith, who has his own label, Myriad.
Oh, they've been on the show before.
He may have. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
He's kind of a Cabernet specialist. He makes a little Syrah. And this is from the Las Madres Vineyard, which is right off of Highway 121. Before you get to Domaine Caneros.
This is a 2015 Syrah.
2015, and one of my favorite Syrahs in the store right now reminds me of a great St. Joseph or Cote Rôti, very smoky, nutty, rich.
It is very smoky.
It's got some earthy character. It's got
Dan
some
is recommending
rustic.
To lay it down.
I would say 3 years for sure, because this one, or decant it. I mean, open it up today, put it in a decanter, and then come back in a week, or 3 days, whatever.
Off the air, Dan, you were saying this. Re-explain what you were saying, because you were saying it has a...
It's got that funky nose, which is really what Syrah is all about. I mean, it's classic Syrah, but it's chewy and chunky. You need a steak with this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, this is serious wine.
But what were you saying about it? You were telling me off air, you know. Well, I forgot what you said. Well,
I don't know, sort of rustic. I don't know. It definitely has the stamp of Syrah. as it is made in the Rhone Valley. So this is
more
that
of a
sort
European slant.
Yeah, European style.
Modern.
Good acidity, plenty of acidity, but also plenty of tannin. So this is a pretty chunky wine, but
I can see the chunky or taste the chunky part.
It's tough stuff, but when you pull a cork on it, you wouldn't want to drink it right away.
Yeah.
Give it 3 hours.
Last time I had it, I drank it over a period of 3 days, and it just got better and better.
Oh yeah, that's exactly
the textural component.
Yeah, because I'm not blown away by this right now.
Well, it just doesn't have it's. When we pull the cork on a lot of wine. It's still recovering. Once the cork's out of the bottle, that's just the step one. You've got to give it time. Wine is a breathing,
young.
Living, breathing product.
Yeah, it's
so.
Young.
Did we talk about the? Did Anna talk about the second shard?
No.
Because I went to the Bahamas for a minute.
No. We did. We briefly talk about a little bit about the winemaking and the aging, the partial malolactic.
Right.
We have the great Pinot Noir coming up.
And
so you
this is labeled just a state shard, and this is one I can get for sure for the store, so I'll be carrying this one.
This Pinot?
No, the shard that you like so much.
Oh, cool. Very good.
So both of them, this Pinot is also a state vineyard, so 100% out of the estate. This one is a distinct character from the Pinots Aretessa's made before. It's 100% native ferment, so it's the first time this wine has been 100% native. We've done partial components, but never the whole wine. And in 15, we felt it really expressed the terroir of the vineyard in a really beautiful way.
Really interesting personality in the aroma because it's got a little bit more of the red cherry fruit component, but also a little bit of a trace of blackberry component as well. So it has a little of both kinds of fruit. Then in addition to that, there's a weight and a depth that is, as soon as you put it in your mouth, you say, oh, this is going to be a little tough. Not. It's elegant in the finish. It's got that nice, elegant finish that has good acidity. And so once you when you taste this, the first thing you want to do is see what kind of food. And I would say rare roast beef because you don't want to challenge what this beautiful fruit is about. If you put this in front of a char-grilled steak, the steak would overpower the wine.
And just that makes sense. And my God, I want to
rare
roast beef right now.
And just to clarify,
Mike, can you handle it?
Yeah, he's ready. Just to clarify, native being it means the fermentation started with the wild yeast that exists in the vineyard, right?
Exactly. In the vineyard and mainly in the winery,
and
too.
And in the winery, yeah.
Yeah. And we've been trying to study or studying the genetics of that yeast, and so far we haven't been able to trace it, which means it is something unique to the winery.
And it's somewhat risky, too, right? If it can go south more than commercial yeast.
So far we've got to we've had luck. Yes. We trialed for a few years. Actually, 15 was the first year we trialed on the Chardonnay, too, and the results were so incredible. The 16 Estate Vineyard Chardonnay is also 100% native fermentation.
That is lovely.
That's a really gorgeous Pinot Noir. And I think the most impressive part about this for me personally is that Carneros has been sort of seeking a style. Carneros doesn't yet have one particular style of wine. If this is the style everybody could shoot for, this would be the style that Carneros would be recognized for because this is really very special.
Thank you.
Well, apparently Aretessa and Anna are working hard to, set up the
absolutely,
styles,
and that's exactly the message I was getting today.
Yeah. By the way, the labels are I'm big on labels, and it's a beautiful label, all of these. But I love this. I mentioned a slogan earlier, but I love this. Established in Barcelona, 1551.
Yeah. And
Napa,
still owned by
Napa,
the same family.
1991, oh, right. The same family.
It's the 17th generation of the same family that founded the company. And it's not just the oldest wine. It's the oldest company in Spain, not just in the wine industry, just the oldest company, period.
Well, in Spain.
In Spain.
Unbelievable. In the meantime, it's Dan Berger, my co-host, and, of course, Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn. And our special guest is from Aretessa Winery, Anna Diogo Draper, the woman who's in charge of winemaking there. You guys are doing some amazing stuff, and
thank
I
you.
Bet you're having a wonderful time doing what you do.
Yes, I love it. I always say you'd start to find a winemaker that's not passionate about what he or she does, but I'd like to say that I'm especially enthusiastic about what we do, and lucky to work with an incredible team. It's a winemaking is always a teamwork. The winemaker gets all the credit, but you got to have incredible support from your team behind you. And I'm very, very lucky. I have incredible teamwork.
Dan, overview of Artesa and Portugal wines and Sonoma County wines.
Well,
and how it all
I think
comes
more
together.
Than anything else, Anna has brought a certain sense of purpose and direction to what this property had always done. What's really especially important for me and my readers and listeners is that these wines really are aimed at the dinner table, and they are really structured beautifully, but they taste great all by themselves anyway, and that's partly due to the fact that Anna's really very careful to make sure that you don't lose one part of the wine to sacrifice for the other part of the wine. So you've got both elements. Open it, drink it, or put it on the dinner table. They're really wonderful.
All right, Barry.
Thank you.
I know Barry wants to be able to sell more Artesa
wines.
These
two estate wines will be in the store by Friday. I see my young people. Then we'll start working from there. But, yeah, these are impressive and definitely want to get back out to the winery. I remember it being just a beautiful
It's a gorgeous place.
And
the
and
tasting room?
That was 10 years ago.
All invited to come and visit.
The tasting room, open.
Open every day of the week from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Beautiful. Go to artesawinery.com to learn everything and buy some of these wines before Barry convinces Zana to have them at Bottle Barn. artesawinery.com. A-R-T-E-S-A, artesawinery.com. Anna, great to meet you.
Thank you so
great
much.
Job.
Thank you for having me.
And I hope to see you again, Barry. And Dan, we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.